Support for the PWT cast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's performance package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off, a whole ass 20% off, and free worldwide shipping with the code PWTCast at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, it's about 14 million balls. All right. So if you have balls, head on over to Manscaped and use promo code PWTCast for 20% off and free worldwide shipping. And now, on to the show.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Hailing from the Pro Wrestling Tees headquarters in Chicago, Illinois, he is your host of the PWT cast, Scruggs!
Bang, bang, what is up, you guys? Welcome to episode 222 of the PWT cast. My name is Scruggs.
My name is Rue.
We are this official podcast of Pro Wrestling Tees. Bring this podcast right here on this feed for free every Monday. If you already aren't, make sure you're following us over on social media. We're at PWTcast on Instagram and Twitter, as well as patreon.com/PWTcast. This week, myself and Drew, we are talking Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the follow-up to Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So yeah, should be fun. See what those guys are up to. they're always up to something, Drew.
They've made it into the forest, into the redwoods, and now let's see what they're doing, you know?
Those guys always getting themselves into something. Yeah. And of course, we'll be talking about that right here. But if you aren't a member, if you are a member of the Patreon, tomorrow will be a very special edition of an untitled episode. As you guys know, Drew was here last week. Mm-hmm. And myself, he and Vivian got together and we recorded a horoscope reading. Vivian read our charts. I'm Cancer, Sun, Virgo, Moon, Cancer Rising. I think that's what I was. Maybe. I don't know. You'll have to hear and listen to exactly, you know, what my astrological things was. But yeah, it was a bit of a different episode. We learned some things about Drew. Learned some things about me and some things about Vivian. And it was just, you know, the first time the three of us got together to record a show since the trip back from Canada. Yeah. The road trip.
We learned some things about me and I quickly turned it to everybody else. And you'll understand why.
Yeah.
If you listen to that episode.
Yeah, that episode will hopefully, it'll make a lot of sense. And listen, some of you guys might be like, I don't fucking believe any of that nonsense. Yeah. Well, it's fun to just listen to anyway, because it's the three of us just talking together.
Exactly.
And
it made me want to learn a little bit more. Like, I still don't quite understand what, like, whatever rising means and all that stuff. So
it's fine. I mentioned it to my therapist. I was like, that we did that. And he was like, oh, he's like, we could do some like astrology based stuff next week if you want. And I was like, oh fuck yeah, dude. I was like, let's do it. Like, yeah. I was like, I'm all for it. Like, let's fucking do it.
All I know is like in like 3 weeks, shit is going to get fucking wild with this fucking eclipse season,
baby. Yeah. I'm about to fucking be problematic and blame all my things on the eclipse. I mean, what? It works for every fucking girl I've dated. I'm not allowed to fucking be problematic and blame it on the fucking, you know, on the moon. Fuck off. But yeah, that's dropping tomorrow on the Patreon. And yeah, if you aren't a member of the Patreon, but you still want to listen to myself and Drew, this week on the Music Box, we're talking Olivia Rodrigo, Cardi B, Joe Keery, Oscar Isaac, Bad Religion, Aventura, Butthole Surfers, and Benny the Butcher. Another fun episode of that. That again, we did live last week with myself, Vivian, James, and yeah, it was just a really fun episode. I talked about it where it's like that horoscope episode dropping tomorrow and the episode with the four of us last week. Two of my favorite episodes that we've ever recorded. You know, it's just something different about doing this in person. Not that I don't enjoy doing it, you know, like this, the way we do every week. It's just a different energy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually the one thing that I sort of, we got into it off, I don't know if it was off the mic or on mic, one of the two, but very good week last week for me. You know, this is one of those just sort of as everything's wrapping up, I'm like, man, I was like, it's been a hell of a week because it started out Monday. I drove to Rockford to pick up Drew, drove through a fog. Literally, I could not see shit. And I was like, fuck, stupid fucking Drew's going to fucking kill me. I was like, by making me drive through this fucking snow, I was like, fucking hate Drew. And then, you know, it all melted away the minute, you know, he got in the car and it was awesome. You know, I got to hang out with Drew. I took you on the bear tour.
Yeah, you sure did. Yeah.
How was your week? You know, now having, you know, it's been a few days after it. You know, how was your Chicago trip?
Dude, it was fucking great. Like I said, and it was essentially like 2 days, and because it was like Monday, you know, probably it was like Monday around noon to like basically Wednesday around noon, and you know, it was. It was good. I actually was like, I was literally like, just because I just came off of vacation and like, I was kind of like, almost like, I just had this like sense of existential dread where it's like, fuck man, I know something's going to go fucking like with work or blah, blah, blah. And it's like all this shit going on. And I was just like, I got there and it just, everything fucking went away. Like to the point where Thursday, even my first day back, I was like, it's funny enough, thank God. Listen, this is just for you patrons. This is just for you listeners. Don't be telling anybody I work with. But thank God I was a good boy in Chicago, because I get back Thursday and the lady who's kind of like our office queen lady, she calls me up and she's like, hey, can you come see me? And I go up there and she's like, I hate to do this to you because I know you just got off vacation, but you got to go pee. I had to go pee in a cup Thursday when I got back. But like, even that, like, dude, I took the purposefully traffic route because I was like, hey, they're gonna fucking pay me. Like right now I just got on vacation, like I got the patience of Job, like I don't give a fuck. So like what should have taken maybe like a 40-minute round trip, it was like almost 2 hours because I purposely took the long way. It wasn't even the long way. It was just I knew it was going to be traffic heavy way. But dude, it was such a good, like, even I think with the Ohio trip and then this back to back, like it was such a good like mental reset for me that I definitely fucking needed it and I fucking loved it. So, but yeah, man, you gave me, you know, Tuesday, you gave me the bear experience of, we went to eat at Mr. Beef's, which is, if you don't know, you won't know if you go there, that it is the, it's the exterior, like it is basically that, you know,
the restaurant that they base, one of the most successful fucking. Yeah, it was like super. It's super weird because I mean the outside is you know they use the exterior location for that, but yeah, if you did not know, if you'd never watched The Bear and you just went there, you would have no idea because there was just absolutely nothing. Like we, you know, like when we went to Pequod's, the pizza place, they had a poster up and stuff like that, which like that makes sense, but
and it's like. What, it's a 5-second scene?
If that, yes. Yes, it's fucking, it's Richie running down fucking, it's him running down the street, coming around the corner, and fucking running in and going, pick up for Richard?
Yeah.
That's about it. And yeah, they have that as opposed to the actual restaurant that is fully based on the show.
I almost wonder if it was one of those things where they were like, they got like, maybe they did play it up at one point and then it got super and they were like, fuck this, like let's take all this shit down.
I mean it possibly, maybe, like I would not be shocked because I mean, again, it's fucking, you know, Eben Moss Bacharach running down, Richie running down fucking Webster Avenue into Pequod's. Yeah. That's about it, as opposed to the actual fucking restaurant that they show. But no, Yeah,
you showed me some other places, gave me a little driving tour of the bear and scrump history, you know. I got to see the where you, you know, strangled your first prostitute and then not to death, just for pleasure.
it was essentially that. Me just started driving around like, well, because we went to, so Monday, what the fuck did we do Monday? Monday we went. Monday when
you. Oh, yeah, we got some chicken.
We got some chicken. We got some elote.
A new Monday tradition.
Yeah. or maybe not. But, you know, we went and did that. And it was one of those, we were both very tired. So it was an early night. But Tuesday was where I took the half day. We went to the beef, drove around. We went to go pick up Vivian because we're going to podcast. We went by the Brood, which literally I posted a picture from. We were in there right now. And young Steve Feast just said, oh, I missed that place so much. It's like, well, then you need to come visit more often.
Yeah.
It was like, we went there. We went to Brickerback, which was right next door.
That place. And then also like later that night, like it was one of those where I was like, because I was on there 2 days. So only like I wasn't going to do the carry like luggage or anything. I was like, I'm just going to fucking throw my backpack. That's all I need. And like, dude, because if I would have took a fucking like a checked bag, like I would have loaded up with shit coming back. Like I would like, there's so much shit in like between Bricker Brack and fucking, the Horror House later. Like I was like, yeah, I need that. I need that. I need that. I might just like see if Vinny wants to ship some stuff, you know.
I'm sure he would. Yeah, no, because after we recorded, James met us up here. We went to the Horror House, of course. If you're in Chicago, check it out. And, you know, we hung out with Moses for a bit. Afterwards, we wound up going to right down the street, Bucket of Bloods, which is, it's a record store, but there's also like a bookshop. Cause that's where, I kept telling myself, I was like, you know, again, listen, I'm living on Arrakis now, you know, fucking may thy knife chip and shatter. I literally just bought a fucking stupid expensive fucking Dune t-shirt that like, I normally don't spend that much money on, but it was something that's like, it was a very giant print. Like a giant takes up most of the shirt where it's like, I know my machines physically could not do that. I could not bootleg the shirt is what I'm saying. And so I was just like, I was like, all right. I was like, well, fuck, let's buy the shirt and maybe it fucking, I also don't know the fit. It's like a cool guy shop. Mm-hmm. But yeah, listen, I'm living on fucking Arrakis right now. I'm fucking trying to get everyone to fucking go watch Dune 2. You were like, oh, look, they have the first book. And I was like, oh, fine. Since you're twisting my arm, I guess I'll get fucking Dune. I haven't actually started reading it yet, though, because there was another book that I bought that I've been reading. Again, it's one of those, it's like it's always my problem. I buy so many books at once and then I don't read any of them, which is why now I'm like, okay, no, let's.
Yeah.
I can read this one and then go ahead and get to Dune because God knows when the next one will come out.
You never know.
Yeah, but we wound up going to Pequod's as well, you know, which is, again, deep dish pizza, not Chicago-style pizza, because I didn't take him for Chicago-style pizza. I took him for a deep dish pizza. How did you enjoy Pequod's? Because it is a staple.
It is. It was very good, man. I really enjoyed that. I mean, again, I'm one of those guys where it's like it's hard for me to be like, this pizza is no good. Like pizza to me is like, a lot of people are fucking, you know, very pretentious when it comes to pizza. That is not me. I'm like, yeah, it's fucking good. But yeah, I mean, even, you know, the appetizer platter or whatever we had, that was good too. So
yeah, and you know, it was not too long after that where we came back, we recorded the music one, you know, then wound up dropping you guys off. And again, it was one of those things where I, like, just from those 2 days, I was, because I remember, again, had kind of like a weird week the week beforehand, and that like made my day, you know, yeah. It made my week. I was like, oh, everything will be fucking cool. Everything's good. Everything's gravy. Yeah. And there was a lot of cool wrestling stuff that happened, but you know, in particular, well, I guess I'll just sort of go in sequential order. Cause fucking Wednesday, was the debut of fucking Okada.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where sometimes I have to know things ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, this may or may not have been one of them, but it did not take away from the experience because, it was cool seeing him fucking show up, you know? And yeah. Of course, like the one thing I thought it was a fucking awesome for not being fans of everyone involved in said segment, you know, I thought it's a fucking awesome way to introduce him. Cause people forget that like cocky dickhead Okada heel was like who he was.
Yeah,
and that was the character, and eventually he turned into a babyface because he was so good at, you know, said character. But you know, him coming in as, you know, part of the Elite, like it's one of those things where they set up in 5 minutes, they set up so much. One, you know, of course, because Okada comes out, you know, turns on Eddie Kingston, joins the Elite. But prior to that, you set up after the segment, you set up one. Hangman coming after the Bucks.
Yeah.
You set up Kenny Omega versus Okada 5.
Yeah.
Like whenever it happens, you set up Okada versus Eddie Kingston for the fucking Continental Crown. And you know, as we learn on Collision, like there's a new fucking trios in the division. Like I'm fucking desperately hoping that they do something with the trios division as to me, it was a mistake taking the belts off of House of Black. Once they took them off House of Black, they didn't have anyone lined up for the Acclaimed, and they've just been holding on to those belts. Like it looked like for a while they were teasing, you know, fucking Bang Bang Gang versus the Acclaimed, but now they're all together. It's, I don't know. It's just Jay White is above the trios title. Yes. Is what I'm saying, you know? But again, I thought it was awesome. You know, it very much fits with fucking with Okada's character and stuff like that. And yeah, this Wednesday at Big Business, you have the Elite, you know, now Okada and the Bucks versus the returning Pac, Eddie Kingston, and fucking Pentagon. Like,
yeah,
let's fucking go, dude. Let's fucking go. Like it's fucking awesome. But on top of that, they set up in the easiest way possible, Ospreay versus Danielson.
Yeah.
So your boy's going to fucking St. Louis because I'm not fucking like that is, you know, that is a dream match if there is any. But what did you think of Okada's debut and how they fucking did all that?
I liked it, man. Like I thought it was cool. I mean, he looked fucking, you know, he looked like a million bucks, like, you know, coming out there. And like, I just thought it was awesome. And then, like you said, like, we learn Saturday, like the trios thing. Like, I think that's going to be like, I don't know. There's just so much. I worry a little bit about, like, you know, it's the stuff we talked about with, like, you know, WWE, but obviously it's a different handling of it. Right. Like, I don't want to see him out there too much. Like, I do think he should be a special attraction. Like you said, there's already all these programs they're setting up for him, and like in basically one segment, like, which is, you know, they're like, all right, well, here's your first year.
Yeah, and the thing with Kenny too is that like they haven't announce anything. I mean, even he went so far as to like, listen, like I was going to die. So I don't know when I'm coming back. Like there's no fucking timetable. So just sort of chill. But like when it fucking happens, you know, like it'll be a fucking awesome thing. It's, you know, it's one of those matches where I know John and Wei recently sort of talked about it, but like those matches have just been praised as some of, if not like the best. And yeah, it'll be interesting because again, it's been several years since these dudes have wrestled each other, and they've obviously both grown as wrestlers. So it'll be fun to see where that goes. I'm also interested to see where they, you know, what they wind up doing with Okada for the pay per view. Again, maybe he wins the. It looks like he might be fucking taking that Continental Classic title from from Eddie Kingston, and I'm all for it. You know, like, just let's go. And again, allegedly, you know, signed some fucking massive, ridiculous contract. And it's like, good. Like, good for him.
Yeah.
You know, all those wrestlers should be fucking getting, you know, these giant fucking contracts, like, for what they put their bodies through and stuff. And,
yeah, man. And it was cool. It was a good, you know, I think it's always that thing of like, coming out of the pay-per-view, like, what are you going to do? Like, what's going to be the new thing? Like, everything was set in motion for it, which was really good.
Yeah, and, you know, even, again, this upcoming week, it's like, they've laid out a pretty fucking stacked show so far. You know, you have Wardlow versus Samoa Joe for the fucking AEW title, the World Championship, which I think Joe is just going to, because, you know, you had Swerve. So you have Hangman suspended indefinitely by the Bucks. But Swerve came out anyway and was just like, no, least, like,
yeah.
What were you saying?
I was just gonna say, you know, at least until, you know, the child is good to go.
You have, like I mentioned, the Elite versus Eddie Kingston, Penta and Pac. Which I'm listen, even if they don't do Eddie versus Okada, if they go with fucking Pac versus Okada, like, that's still gonna be a fucking awesome match.
Yeah.
You have Darby Allin versus Jay White in what may be Darby's last match, because he's gonna go climb Mount Everest.
Yeah.
I don't like putting it that way. And then other matches they've announced so far, Willow Nightingale versus Rio, as well as the Vampire and Hook versus Gates of Agony. So I'm Chris Jericho and Hook versus Gates of Agony. More of a leech than a vampire, but yeah. And you know, again, they're in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows who decides to show up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep,
in Boston.
In Boston. Yeah.
I would bet Monet that somebody's showing up though.
I would bet a good amount. You know, I would, you know, I was telling my friend Sasha, you can take me to the bank on this. That, you know, I had a dream, but I hadn't made it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some big things coming soon, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if Snoop Dogg's going to be watching.
I know. For whatever reason.
Yeah.
I feel like this is just like, you know, it's just the way, you know? Those shows always go.
Yeah, you'd have to be a cold-hearted Mandalorian to not to not feel some sort of excitement. That wasn't the only that wasn't the only wrestling that I had, because the next day was a Freelance Friday. Like, I'd never been to a wrestling, because Freelance Wrestling, they put on shows at Emporium, and I just hadn't been to one of them. And with this one, Danhausen was going to be there. Danhausen was wrestling Trevor Outlaw, again, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. Effie won the tag titles. He and Ellie Katz won the tag titles. Matt Nix was wrestling. My friend Olsen was wrestling. So it was a show that I wanted to go to, like, to the point where Frank wanted to go. And like, Frank doesn't like wrestling. So he was like, yeah, let's go. And we wound up working Danhausen's merch table, you know? And again, awesome, because It was a weird setup, but Danhausen, you know, had a study. We were actually right across from Vinny. Vinny and his buddy had a fucking Ray. Yeah, had a booth set up right across from us, and it was just very much C2E2 style. You know, us selling Danhausen's merch and stuff. It was funny because, and again, it was a lot of people. So there was one guy who came. So this guy was from London, was in New York on vacation with his wife, saw that Danhausen was going to be in Chicago, and they literally booked like a last minute flight to come see Danhausen in Chicago. Yeah. Wow. And so we were like, holy shit, you know, and you know, very nice, very gentleman, you know, bought, bought fucking one of everything, got a picture with him, and he, you know, walks away. And then the, like, the next person that comes up, it's the very nice woman. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so excited to see you. I came from very far to see you. And we're like, oh, how far? She's like, I came all the way from fucking Oregon. And we're like, that is far. But someone just came from the, and it was literally like right before. And I'm, because, and yeah. I'm just thinking, like, you know, this girl was just like, man, I'm the biggest Danhausen fan. Yeah. No one's come this far. And literally someone came across from fucking the UK just to see him. But yeah, no, you know, it was cool. So again, got to see a lot of the wrestlers and stuff, a lot of the people that I hadn't seen there in a while. But there was a lot of people that were really excited to see Danhausen wrestle, including one Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old Uncle Phil came by. You know, he didn't appear on the show, obviously, but he was there. Yeah. He was backstage. And yeah, after the show, me and Frank, you know, we went back there with Danhausen, and we're just hanging out. I wound up, so he was talking to a lot of like the wrestlers and stuff, and a lot of them wanted pictures, and I was just like, all right, come on, I know the drill. And like Punk yeah. was just like, he's like, man, he's like even when you're not getting paid, you're still, I was like, yeah, he's like, you know, just made the comments, like, even when we're not at the yeah. convention, he's like, you're still fucking, I was like, yeah, it's like, we have a, you know, we know, me and you, we have a fucking thing, let's go.
Yeah.
And again,
I know my place.
Yeah, like it's, I'm like, listen, I joke all the time, I was like, I think I've taken the most pictures of you in 8 years that, you know, yeah. we've done like conventions together and stuff like that. But again, it was just a very cool experience, because after that, you know, Frank and I dropped them off, and we were all just talking, you know, having a lot of fun conversations. And it was one of those things where, like I say all the time, you know, like, oh, these guys are my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very much like what it was, you know, like, it's not just like, I know them and they know me. Like, no, you know, like, it's full on, like, you know, getting, it's, I didn't think I would live in a universe where CM Punk embraces me with a full on hug whenever he yeah. sees me, you know? Right. And again, you know, it's just the conversations that we're all having. It's just one of those things where I'm just like, you are the best in the world. No yeah. one can ever make me hate you. Wes, I'll tell you what he said, because you'll pop for it. You'll appreciate it.
Did you apologize to him?
No, I didn't even bring that up. I did not. No, I was just like, but again, listen, that's a fucked up thing. If you listen to that's the one thing that I keep that I've brought up so much, that I have the fucking CM Punk theory. And a little bit of a spoiler alert, if you listen to the astrology episode, I yeah. wasn't fucking wrong. Nope. I'm literally not wrong. I am not off. So, you know, I did, however, though, ask him because of that. I was like, you had a timetable on your return? I did ask him that because, listen, my theory that fucking my relationships have revolved yeah. around CM Punk's injury schedule and him joining and quitting wrestling companies is not fucking, I'm not far off.
Yeah.
Like, Drew can attest to this. Vivian did that reading and it all fucking lined up.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, and it was just after that, and again, even dropping them off again, same thing. Like, just a very weird world. It was one of those, like, man, life is really fucking good. And yeah. I thought that would have been.
You just played that Chicago song.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, because Frank dropped me back off to the shop, and I was, like, a little hungry, and I wound up fucking, yeah, driving to go get some pizza, and I'm, like, listening to that song, and I'm just like, fuck, man. Because, again, like, I, you know, I mean, I talk to Danhausen frequently and stuff like that, but whenever he's in town, again, it's just, it's fun getting to hang out with him and stuff like that. And same thing with Punk. Again, Drew, or Wes, I'll tell you what he said, but it was just some very, you know, I already told you, Drew, what he was saying. And it was just like one of those things where I was like, man, again, they could never make me hate you, especially based on what you're saying right now. But you know, and then Saturday I got to catch up with another friend of mine, Stephanie. Like I've mentioned her before and passing and stuff like that. And it's weird because she says she's listened to some episodes of the podcast, but I honestly don't know when the last time we would have hung out was, like, in person at least. You know, I mean, just life happens. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years. Like that's it's been a while.
Yeah.
But it was one of those nice things where. One, there was, on my end, there's been some reclaiming of things and places that I was like, I was giving too much power to, yeah. You know, in specific whole neighborhoods of the city that I was just avoiding. But it was one of those things where it's like, I don't care. And us just hanging out and again, just catching up. Like, and I'm sure you've had that, you know, I'm sure most people have that where like you catch up with a friend. And again, it'd been, let's say 4 years. Felt like just yesterday, you know, like because we literally were, you know, we had lunch and then we had coffee afterwards. And it was just so much of us just catching each other up on what had happened because, you know, I start telling, you know, it's like I start telling a story about one thing and it's just like, oh, well, you know, for context as to why Drew is doing the podcast with me, you have to know about this, but you also have to know about this. And then you also have to know about this. And, you know, and it's just like so much has happened. Yeah. Like literally, like that was one of the things where she's like, yeah, she's like, so like, what sounds like what's new in the last like 4 years, buckle in, you know, but again, from the both of us and stuff like that. And, as we will talk about on Wednesday's episode, you know, just very good. It recharged my soul. Yeah. That's sort of the way I can put it, you know. I'm very much in Joey Diaz mode. I mean, I'm a fucking savage. I'm a fucking savage, Joe Rogan. But yeah, dude. Again, it's been a little bit of a sad week though. Not for me in particular, but there was a very major death this week in Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball Z. I don't think you're much of, if at all, a Dragon Ball Z guy.
No, it was one like there was one I wanted to get into, and then like so many of these things that I'm like, wait, this started in 1989. No, I don't like. There's too much other things I can knock off the list first.
Yeah,
but I mean, I know enough about. I mean, obviously, it's just those osmosis things I know about that. Like, you know, I understand the 9,000 reference, and I know who, you know, Goku and Vegeta is, and like just the certain things that, like, you know, like I said, it's just like somehow it just seeps in your brain, even though you don't know anything about it.
No, it's funny because especially, listen, in the Mexican community, you want to know how big he was? The cartel literally called a ceasefire in order to fucking mourn the death of fucking, of this man.
Wow.
Yeah, like it was one of those things like people were posting about it and it was a joke. No, the fucking Mexican cartel called the fucking ceasefire. Like, wow. The country of Japan was like fucking more like you have like everyone. There's people like mourning him, like government officials. Like he was a very big fucking deal. And yeah, again, listen, like Mexicans fucking love Dragon Ball Z. A lot of my fucking friends love Dragon Ball Z, but it's just one of the things I never got into it. Primarily one because, again, I did not grow up with cable. So the one place that they would show Dragon Ball Z was Channel 44, Telemundo. And I did not want to watch shows in Spanish. Like, I guess, especially as a kid, I was like, no, I just didn't. I wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And then I got older, and this is one of those things where, again, it's impossible to escape. Yeah. I know Vegeta. I know Goku. I know some. I know some of these characters just based on fucking. Again, I have a pulse,
right?
You know, like I know who it is. It always makes me laugh. I think of this last Christmas when Frank was doing Christmas shopping. He's like, I want to get something for Nick. What's Nick into? Is he into Star Wars? And I was like, he likes Dragon Ball Z. He's like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, just. just walk up, because I knew it was the one place he was at. I was like, just walk up to the fucking one of the people at the counter and tell them that you want something Vegeta. And he was like, what? He's like, I don't know what you're saying right now. And but it's just like, it's just funny because it's like,
yeah,
it was such like a dad moment. But
yeah,
again, a major pioneer within manga, within, you know, like the guy who created manga was like, this is my successor. This is my fucking protege. This is who will take over. And yeah, like there's so much influence. I mean, even in wrestling, you know, like I mean, in everything. Killmonger's yeah. fucking outfit, you know, like specifically, like Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler have talked about, like, yeah, no, he's wearing Vegeta's costume. Like, that's what it yeah. is. And yeah. again, you have wrestlers all the time dressed like mm-hmm. him and stuff. And yeah, again, myself, I'm a Full Metal Alchemist guy. I'm a Digimon guy, a Yu-Gi-Oh guy, but without Dragon Ball Z, none of that really, you know, none of it gets the level that it does. Because again, yeah. you go anywhere and there's fucking Dragon Ball Z everything. Literally, I remember when we were in Cozumel in Mexico, fucking so much bootleg Dragon Ball Z shit everywhere. And again, like, it is a fucking big deal. Might not be a yeah. big deal to me and to you, but there's so many people. Again, I've seen more people mourn the death of what's his fucking name, Akira, you know, of the creator of Dragon Ball Z than I did for any sort of like politician or celebrity. And honestly, in most recent fucking memory, like yeah. more people cried about Akira Toriyama than the fucking Queen of England. Which, I mean, one of those is a royal figure who did a lot for their people, and the other one was the Queen of England.
Yes.
You know? So, you know, yeah, man, fucking pour one out for Akira Toriyama. You know, go watch some anime. One of the things, so another crazy, just a random story that I saw floating around was, are you familiar with the story of Sheldon Johnson, the ex-con who recently appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast advocating for rehabilitation for ex-cons?
No.
Well, he recently appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast. Again, he was in jail for about, I think it was like 20, 25 years for attempted okay. murder. Okay. And was on there talking about how, yeah, like, you know, fucking there should be more of a rehabilitation process for people to come out afterwards. And then he was arrested as police found dismembered human remains in his apartment.
Cool.
Yeah. So the way the story goes was there was fucking... So I'll pull up the exact thing. So a recent guest on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast has been charged with murder after being caught with a dismembered corpse in a Bronx apartment. A high profile anti-violence.
In fairness, that could have been anybody's.
Which is what he's saying. There's really? Video of him being arrested and he's like, that's not mine. That's not me. A high-profile anti-violence activist and ex-con has been charged with murder, manslaughter, and weapon possessions less than 1 month after appearing on the Joe Rogan Experience. Jamie, can you pull that up? 48-year-old Sheldon Johnson Jr. was taken into questioning by police after reports of gunfire led officers to a Bronx apartment where the mutilated corpse of Colin Small was found. Small had been dismembered, his decapitated head found with a bullet wound. Several body parts were also discovered inside a freezer, including Small's severed arms, legs, and a foot. Security footage shows a suspect assumed to be Johnson Jr. wearing various disguises as he entered and exited the building's elevator. Nonetheless, Johnson Jr. declared his innocence to a reporter as he was led from the 44th Precinct Station House to appear in Bronx Criminal Court. Prior to his arrest, Johnson was sentenced to 50 years in upstate prison for a 1997 robbery committed in his early 20s. He was released in May after 25 years and hired as a client advocate for Queens Defender. Appearing on the Joe Rogan's podcast, an episode titled Sentenced to 50 Years, Sheldon Johnson dedicated to turn his life around. Johnson Jr. discussed his criminal past and moved forward. His lawyer also appeared on the episode, dubbing Johnson Jr. a miracle, claiming he had been unfairly sentenced to prison for the robbery.
I guess if there's one thing that's true, though, like, I guess there does need to be better rehabilitation if, you know, if they just return and just go back to that, like, you know, what are we doing? Like, if people are serving out their sentence, let's get them back into a normal life again.
Yeah, man. Again, just one of those, like, again, that was just a crazy story. Really has has nothing to do with much. And just like, wow, fucking how much, like, you know, those people that fucking let them out are just like, what the fuck? What did we fucking unleash on the world?
Dude, so I actually, it's so funny because I just, last week I listened to, or I watched, Dan Soder has a new special on YouTube. And one of the things he talks about was where he was like giving, like, you know, he was giving some, it might have been, I don't know, maybe the same thing where it's like, you know, it was he's giving money to something to like rehabilitate, or like, you know, these people that were wrongly accused. And he's like twice within a month, he found out that two of the people let go by that fund then redid what they did before. And he's like, and all I could think was, am I funding crime in New York City? which, by the way, everybody go out. He tells that joke way better. And but yeah, the Dan Soder on the Road, it's free on YouTube. Go check it out.
So tonight is a very special night, Drew.
Oh yeah,
as it's Hollywood's biggest night.
That's right.
The Oscars are going on. I did see, apparently John Cena came out naked to present an award.
Not the time with the WWE to be running around naked, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to see if there's any. I can't really see fucking what exactly the context is behind it. Apparently, yeah, he's naked. He came out naked, covering just his crotch. But I just, and again, we're not going to go through everything, but I want to see if you watch any of these movies that have been nominated for Best Picture, because, you know, some were
popular. If I remember right, I think I did four of them.
So you have American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie.
Yes.
The Holdovers.
Yes.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
No.
Maestro.
No.
Oppenheimer.
Yes.
Past Lives.
No.
Poor Things and The Zone of Interest.
Oh, so it was just three, yeah.
But
I do want to check out Poor Things. And I mean, I still want to watch Killers of the Flower Moon. It's just, you know.
I've still not watched The Holdovers. Funny enough, though, the writer is apparently getting sued because it's like he straight up plagiarized someone else's script.
Oh.
But yeah, I saw Barbie, I saw Killers of the Flower Moon, saw Oppenheimer. I've been told I might not be ready to watch Past Lives yet, as it's one of those like very emotionally heavy ones, but I just want to watch it. And they just put Poor Things on Hulu, so I want to check that out.
I don't know if you know this or not, but apparently Poor Things?
Yeah.
A lot of sex.
Oh, is that a thing?
That's what I hear.
Oh, hell yeah.
A lot of sex and Poor Things.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Robert Downey Jr., though, was walking away with an Oscar. Like, I'm seeing, let me see if I could see.
Oh, yeah, Best Supporting, right?
Yeah, because it's live now, but I'm trying to see if anyone has won yet. Actress in a supporting role. adapted screenplay, original screenplay.
Those have already been named?
Yeah.
Costume what was design. The actress in a supporting role?
Actress in a supporting role was Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Adapted screenplay went to American Fiction. Original screenplay went to Anatomy of a Fall. Poor Things won for costume design. And I think that's it so far. So, the Boy and the Heron, fucking Miyazaki, fucking taking another.
Nice.
No Oscar. Poor Things won for makeup and hairstyling. Poor Things won for production design.
Yeah, I just think like Divine's that performance was very good, but like Emily Blunt was just so like fucking next level in Oppenheimer. Like to me, she was the best acted person in there. Like her character, it was I won't say best acted. She was the best character.
In
character development,
in Oppenheimer, yeah, she's very fucking good. Again, I want to watch more of these like movies, but just a lot of these like Oscar ones just fucking, you know, like I just like I know Bradley Cooper with that like that Maestro one, it's like I feel so bad where they're like this guy's been fucking spent putting so much time and trying to get this made forever, and it's like I've heard nobody talk about this fucking movie. You know, it's like to dedicate that much. I don't want to say
I know those, like, I assume it's kind of like, because they're kind of like chefs, right? They're like known for being fucking psychos, like the maestros. And so I'm sure it's good. It's just, I don't know. What was the one, the drum movie with J.K. Simmons?
What was it?
But same thing. Like I never saw it. I'm like, I don't know. I just don't have the interest.
It was good. It was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Whiplash?
Yeah. Whiplash. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, it's just like, I remember this was a few years back. And I fucking totally agreed with him. But like Kevin Smith was, you know, I remember him saying, he's like, Spider-Man No Way Home should be nominated for an Oscar. Like it was that good of a movie. And it was like, like it should. Like I remember when Black Panther was like nominated and there was people like up in arms and it's like, but it's good. Like it's, you know, because it's not one of these like hoity-toity artsy movies. It's like, that doesn't mean anything. Like it should be... It's not, I don't know. Like, what do you sort of pick to be nominated? It should be what's the most popular, but then like, well, that's the people's choice. But it's like, but the thing is, you want people to watch.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, it should be movies that people fucking watched. Like, I don't know. I look at that list of movies and I'm pretty sure, Oppenheimer is going to clean up a lot of the more major awards. Like again, Robert Downey Jr. and Cillian Murphy likely fucking walking away with Oscars. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of all of this controversy right now surrounding, you know, the holdover stuff. Cause that came out recently. And like, again, like the last few days, but I don't know. It's Hollywood's biggest night, Drew.
That's right. The biggest.
You know who should win Oscars though for being fucking amazing people are the wonderful patrons of the show.
They're my best supporters.
Yeah, I love them all. They should all get an Oscar, including Clifford Frazier, Jesse Kohlenberg, Joshua Davis, Neil Flanagan, Jonathan Mayer, Hot Topic Joe, Ryan Crossley, Vivian Urbina, My Godfather Jesus.
Shout out Jesus.
Shout out Jesus. Steve East, Rachel Sayarto, Lil Cillian Murphy, Lucy Salgado, Lupe Dominguez, the Kings of Sport podcast, Darren Kistler, and Steve Gross Weed. Drew, what do you guys got going on this week over at the Draft Pod?
We have we're finishing up our series. I think first we did Living Female and then Living Male, and now we're doing our favorite dead redheads. So we're just going to talk about all our favorite dead redheads there have been for St. Patrick's Day. So
hell yeah.
Oh man, I really missed the opportunity to play something Irish on the music box.
Nah, it's fine. It's always next year.
Yeah. Next year, next week, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, there's Irish people that would come from Ohio.
That's right. Oh yeah. Never mind.
Tomorrow on the Patreon will be the astrology episode again with myself, mm-hmm. Drew and Vivian. Wednesday will be the volume 29 of the Music Box, where again we're talking Olivia Rodrigo, Cardi B, Joe Keery, Bad Religion, Aventura, Butthole Surfers, Benny the Butcher, and Oscar Isaac. And Friday on the Patreon, it'll be myself and Drew talking Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So a packed week here, but all fun nonetheless.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, for this week's episode of the PWT Cast, I've been Scrump.
I've been Drew.
And this is friend of the show. And he's no longer in the elite, so maybe he can join fucking Team Tamagotchi with, me, you, Drew. Oh, me, you, James, and Vivian. Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega here, friend of the show. We've run out of things to say here at the PWT Cast, and so I must bid you adieu. Goodbye and good night. Bang, bang.